Welcome to a special edition of Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, the regional channels. Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker with the breaking news. The Detroit Tigers have traded David Price to the Toronto Blue Jays. David Price is now with the Toronto Blue Jays. We can cite multiple sources saying that. We do know, as I said earlier in the show, it's Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker, by the way, forgive me, on Baseball Central. Daniel Norris has been informed in Buffalo that he has been traded. He has had a conversation with general manager Alex Anthopoulos. The reported deal is Daniel Norris and Anthony Alford to the Detroit Tigers for David Price. David Price, the single biggest game changer on the trade market in Major League Baseball this year. Eligible for free agency at the end of the season. David Price at the Rogers Center. Let me throw out his career numbers at the Rogers Center. 9 starts, 7 wins, an ERA of 3.86, a WHIP of 1.286. David Price knows how to win in a ballpark that is, shall we say, not a hitter's ballpark.
Small.
David Price now joins a team. David Price now joins a team that is Troy Tulowitzki, Josh Donaldson, Jose Bautista, Russ Martin, Edwin Encarnacion.
A better bullpen.
A better bullpen. And this is, well, I wasn't here when the Jays made the deals for Joe Carter and Alomar.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to, you know, I can't compare that necessarily, but I got to tell you, the past 3 days in terms of, did you see this coming?
No.
I don't know if there've been, and I'll bow. Somebody out there, if you send me an email, maybe there have been a more surprising 3 days.
I think a couple of months ago, I mentioned David Price and people, some people said to me, you're crazy. It's never going to happen. Just because it's a big, Alex doesn't surprise me with the big names. That's who he is now. He's going to go out and get the biggest names in baseball to come to Toronto. Because I say this again, when you're the last man standing to make the playoffs, you do things differently than everybody else does. Alex does this. And it's like you said, he may go out and get another hitter. Would that be surprising? No way. No way that's surprising. And this takes pressure off of everybody. John Gibbons, Pete Walker, Alex Anthopoulos, you're the best hitting team in baseball.
Well,
it does it.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think there's
takes a little bit of pressure off.
Yeah, it makes the team better, but now they got to win. Greg Brady of Brady and Walker joining us. So what are we going to call us? It's Baseball Central with it's the Greg Brady edition of Baseball Central with Greg Brady, Jeff Blair, Kevin Walker.
You're making me work four minutes early.
Kevin Barker.
I guess if they make a huge acquisition, I can handle an extra 4 minutes.
Right.
David Price.
Are you kidding?
I listen to you, and maybe you've addressed this. I listen to you driving home doing primetime, and you said this does not look like a general manager managing for his job.
Oh, he's not. Of course he is. Now he is. Yeah.
Well, he wasn't on Monday. He wasn't with the Tulowitzki deal. No,
The Tulowitzki deal to me is a general manager who, you know, wants to make his team better. And as Alex said, look, I make this deal in the spring. I make this deal in the winter. I make this deal tomorrow. But this is Troy Tulowitzki to me isn't a go for it deal. This is a sign that Alex Anthopoulos thinks he has to go for it this year.
Yeah, and I hope you're like me. I'm at the door, you're at the door, and I think we're trying to hold off the folks storming, saying this will lead to a David Price extension in Toronto. To me, it will not.
No.
I don't think there is a minuscule chance Heat Inc. Well, for so many different reasons.
Unless this organization's willing to pay, what, 29?
Yeah, it's in that neighborhood. I was saying between 27 and 29 for 7 years.
Bob Nightingale reporting that Matt Boyd is also part of the deal. Matt Boyd going from the Blue Jays to the Tigers. And there's another minor league pitcher involved in that as well. So we now know, and again, this is we're kind of piecing things together here, but we now know that it's Matt Boyd, Daniel Norris, and we know Daniel Norris has been told he's been traded, and Anthony Alford, Jairo Labour is the other pitcher going in the deal, according to Bob Nightingale. That's pretty much it for the top pitching prospects in the Blue Jays organization.
Yeah, if we're not counting Sanchez at the big league level, Osuna, there's nothing. I mean, who at either New Hampshire or Buffalo?
John Harris, the guy they picked this year would be in it. But Jairo Labour was ranked 11 by Baseball America. He was signed as an international free agent out of the Dominican Republic. He is a left-hander, and he's
that's
very
why, that's
impressive.
Why you have prospects.
It is.
To
it
do
is.
This.
It's
with
quite
them.
It's quite a 30 months to have traded Noah Syndergaard, Hoffman, Boyd, Norris, and I feel like I'm forgetting, even if you want to lump Henderson Alvarez in there, but we'd all do the Jays Marlins deal again.
Yes.
I'm not. I think it's incredibly exciting. The atmosphere that'll be there for David Price's first start Sunday against Kansas City or Monday. I tell you what, I'd hold him for Monday against the Twins. That's a team you got to catch. I'd rather pitch him against Minnesota on Monday. That's me. He'd be on 6 days rest. He's gonna have a day of transition with travel, etc. But I it's hard to be giddy knowing you're 51-51 right now. That's the hesitation, isn't it? We talked about that on Monday with the Cueto deal on the weekend. That if you're sitting where the Royals are, you do this deal. If you're the Yankees, mm-hmm. I was thinking driving home last night, it's a great time for the Yankees to get into this.
Yep.
How many good competitive years do the Yankees have left with Teixeira and the guys they've got and McCann, and all their best players are 32 and older. It's different with the Jays.
Ken Rosenthal now reporting that it's official. It is David Price from the Tigers for Norris, Labour, and Boyd. So no Anthony Alford. That according to Ken Rosenthal. Mm-hmm. So three pitching prospects, no Anthony Alford going to the Detroit Tigers. That from Ken Rosenthal. Again, just to refresh, the original report was Daniel Norris and Anthony Alford involved in the deal. Now Jairo Labour, Daniel Norris, and Matt Boyd. And that from Ken Rosenthal. So, and if you're interested in where they rank on the prospects list, Norris was number one, Boyd was number 11, and Labour was number 19. On the Blue Jays prospect list. So, I mean, Greg's right. I got to tell you right now, I don't want to hear from you in another year. I don't want to hear the same stuff I'm getting about Noah Syndergaard now. This is part of the deal. If you're gonna trade prospects, there's a chance that the prospects are going to end up being pretty good. And I keep making this point. This is the price of doing business. This is the price of doing business.
Would you have done this? They're 51-51.
I would, you know what? Only for David Price.
Yeah.
I would not have traded Daniel Norris plus prospect for Johnny Cueto. I would not have traded Daniel Norris. I wouldn't have traded for Scott Kazmir because I don't believe he's going to be healthy in another month. And I just, if I'm going to trade for a guy and go for it, I've got to get a guy who I can run out there.
And you can't put Norris into a deal to rent Samardzija. You're not doing that. Not with the year he's had either.
I think if you're Alex, being an ex-player with having three MVP candidates on your team, this is what you have to do. You have to tell the rest of your team you're in it to win it, regardless of whether you're going to get fired or hired, rehired at the end of the season. You have to go out and do the best you can, put the best product on the field. This is what he's done.
This suggests a couple of things to me. First of all, Alex Anthopoulos clearly is a motivated general manager 100%. This year. Secondly, I wonder, Greg, if it doesn't always also indicate that with 13 games left against the Yankees and the fact that they're chasing, and this is no disrespect to Minnesota, but the fact that they're chasing Minnesota for that second wild, I wonder if Alex isn't essentially saying, you know what, my lineup's better than Minnesota.
Yeah.
If I get pitching, I should be able to beat those guys.
They're not. It's, look, people have said the American League's down. Two miss we got wrong in April and May was, hey, the AL East isn't very good, and no one will run away with it. The Yankees have started to run away with it now.
Right.
You'll have David Price potentially for 11, 12 starts at max, and if the 12 would include the wild card game if you're in it. So you got potentially 11 regular season starts or 10 regular season starts with him. You said it, Jeff. You could have three against the Yankees. You really want it. You want him every time out.
Mm-hmm.
You want him in Yankee Stadium. You want him here against a pretty good lineup, a veteran lineup, a lineup that stayed healthy so far. But yeah, I agree on the wild card front. No one fell out of it. I mean, we wrote off on our show the White Sox a week and a half ago, and who wouldn't have? They've won seven straight.
With all due respect, the Detroit Tigers, it's not like they've thrown in the towel, but it's not like they're mathematically buried. I mean, they're not that far behind.
Yeah.
They're not that far behind the Jays.
And they've found an arm in Justin Verlander. That was the one pause for hesitation yesterday, was saying Justin Verlander's had two good starts in a row. Anibal Sanchez is healthy and consistent. We're not getting much out of Green, and we're not getting much out of anything else. But can we roll with Verlander, Sanchez, and Price against what look like also Rans for the second wild card? And can we get into it? Can we or not? I don't think. And if Detroit trades Cespedes in the next 26 hours,
right,
I think we've got our answer that they know that they're out. If they're trading Price, they are trading Cespedes. They are.
Yeah. I mean, it would make no sense not to.
No.
It would make no sense not to.
A lot of this, too, has put the emphasis on your team and not on Alex now. Last year, Jose Bautista basically called out Alex and said, you need to go out and do something. That wasn't done. Now, all of a sudden, all the emphasis on nothing but the team, the 25-man, here it is. Take it and run with it. I'm done what I can do, only what I can do, and here it is.
I'll ask you guys, 60 games left, 51-51. If they don't have another move to make, I don't think they have anything that could net them Aroldis Chapman back. I don't think they have anything that can net them closing help. Are you fine with their bullpen? Are you fine with where we're at with Sanchez adding LaTroy Hawkins and Osuna as the closer? Is that going to be enough for 60 games? And playoffs, if it's there.
Well, I think that's playoff things, we worry about that later, I think, if you're Alex. But I think adding Sanchez is we both said it. I think that power in the back of your bullpen keeps it in the yard. That's what it is.
Would I be comfortable with the Jays coming out now and saying that Aaron Sanchez is our closer? And would I be comfortable going into the playoffs with that? Yeah, I think he's that good.
And use Osuna in the eighth, yeah, depending on situation.
One of those two. I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable enough. I'm comfortable enough with that. It's Brady and Walker.
Or which one of you? I don't know which one of you guys wants that honor.
With Greg Brady. I'm not Andrew Walker. I'm Jeff Blair. That's Kevin Barker. We're throwing this together simply because in the past couple of minutes, Alex Anthopoulos has kind of redefined baseball in this city in a lot of ways, acquiring David Price for three prospects. This, along with the acquisition of Troy Tulowitzki a couple of days ago. It gives the Jays, as I described it, David Price, Greg, I think we can agree, he was the nuclear weapon at the trade deadline.
100%.
He was the game changer.
And if you remember last year, too, he was last year on trade deadline day. It was kind of surprising. That cropped up so late in the day that the Rays were considering trading David Price because they had another year of control with him. Mm-hmm. They could have come in 2015 with David Price as their ace. They trade James Shields in the 12 offseason for Will Myers. That looks like a smart, astute trade. I know Myers had been banged up, but I think we'd all have done that in retrospect. And Jeff, I think it's you saw a couple of them with the Expos, but this is the biggest July 31st deal they've ever made. People tend to forget the David Cone deal was after the deadline. It was late on. I want to say it wasn't quite Labor Day, but it was late August.
And
he had playoff eligibility, but just barely.
And we need to just remind people that this is the expiration of the non-waiver trade deadline. Trades can be made after the trade deadline. It's just harder because a player has to clear waivers.
And superstars will get put on waivers and everybody will react. But,
exactly.
But for the most part, those guys, Albert Pujols could get put on waivers.
Yes.
He's not getting picked up.
Yeah, almost every player is going to get put on waivers.
I know you got a whole afternoon show to do, but if you can stay, I'm told Daniel Norris will join us close to the end of the hour.
Yes.
From Buffalo.
Excellent.
So I'm sure you'll have questions for Daniel Norris.
I would love to stay.
Who will be a big part of, listen, this is a good deal for Detroit as well. I think you'd look
they
watched Scherzer leave for nothing. I think we didn't know it at the time. Some of us suspected it. Dave Dombrowski swung and missed on trading Doug Fister to Washington. Didn't get anything back to help his rotation. So they want Norris and potentially Boyd in a younger rotation next year with Justin Verlander and Anibal Sanchez. They had to get two starters back, and they did. They needed that more than position players.
Yeah.
They're fine for position players. They've had J.D. Martinez. They've had James McCann. They don't need position players like they do starting pitching, and they got that back. So it's a good deal. It's a deal Dave Dombrowski should have made, and he did.
Yeah, and it makes a lot. It makes sense from the Detroit point of view, absolutely. They're reloading on minor league arms. And, here's the thing with the Tigers. Tigers, Greg, you know this as well as anybody. The Tigers can rebuild. They can rebuild this offseason.
They can attract a Johnny Cueto.
Absolutely.
They can attract a Jeff Samardzija.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Because they've got a motivated owner. They've got a general manager. And this, I'm not going to be, with all due respect, I'm going to try to be a little tactful here. here. They've got an old owner who isn't going to be around.
Yeah. He wants a World Series before he dies. Things before we die.
But exactly.
When we're 84 or 85. And mm-hmm. he is, and he wants this World Series to go with his four Stanley Cups. That's what he wants. And he'll do anything to get it. But you're right. This is it was described as a lot of the baseball columnists, your brethren kind of joked at the idea that it's a reboot. Like, is that the new rebuild? Is that deeper than a rebuild? Is that a rebrand, a reboot, a rebuild? But it's smart for them to take the pedal off the gas, get what you can for Price and Cespedes, because they are a team that can – they need to stock the farm system because they've gone and made Anibal Sanchez trades and Doug Fister mm-hmm. trades. And they've gone out and got guys. Johnny Peralta was a trade way back when. So they have to go out and do those things, but then they will be in the driver's seat with teams like the Nats, the Dodgers, the Giants, the Yankees in free agency next year. Yeah, they will.
This is really good for Daniel Norris too, I think, just to get a clean slate, get away from the Blue Jays. Been a tough year for him.
Although if people have pointed out, and you might be able to concur with this, Kevin, you live the minor league lifestyle.
Yes,
he's not quite as safe living in his van if it's right on the Detroit River. It's just not. I mean,
it's not
you know,
same.
You don't
I've
want.
Never lived in a van.
I've lived. I'm an ex-Detroiter. I can say that. I'm comfortable with my skin.
Better get an apartment.
Put the van in a enclosed parking lot. You'll feel great. Don't do it. So, you can do it in Lakeland, but don't do it when you get back to the big club.
You are the only one that would think of that.
Don't live in the van.
I'm not
Matt Foley.
I reported on Sportsnet.ca a couple of weeks ago that I had a National League executive tell me that Alex was going to do something spectacular. And I sent him a text during the Tulowitzki news conference, and I said, is this the spectacular? And his response was, bleep no. So I sent him, I just got a text back from him. Says, this is spectacular. And again, this is a guy, the National League executive. This is spectacular, and word is Alex isn't done yet today. So I don't know what that means, but
it's shattered some myths about taking on payroll in future years. They take on a little bit of payroll, obviously, for this year because it was sort of cost prohibitive, wasn't it, to go from Reyes this season to Tulowitzki.
Yeah.
It's dollars and it's pennies per couple weeks. But it shatters the myth that if you hear Alex Mike do it, he won't do it. The Dickey trade was one that stood out for me because there were four or five days of Ari Dickey rumors.
The New York writers, Ken Davidoff was all over it. You're right, 5 days before it happened. That wasn't entirely done.
I feel like so much so the timeline was Ari Dickey was rumored to Toronto, and that's when the lovely and talented J.P.R. and Sibia felt the need to speak up and say, hey, I'm not in the deal. I'll never get moved from Toronto. I'm here for life, baby. Because there was talk, hey, would Aaron Sibia plus a Syndergaard be enough? No, clearly it wasn't. They wanted Travis d'Arnaud a lot more than they wanted J.P. Aaron Sibia, and that's how it happened. But, yeah, it shatters some payroll myths for people. It shatters the going forward myth. And, again, I would say I this deal has its misgivings. I can't off the top of my head think of teams that have gone for quite so extensively and still missed the postseason. It was a lot easier to miss when there were four teams making it out of 26 or 28. But it still has that inherent risk. You're an injury to a good position player away from being in some trouble here, and they still have games to make up, and then you're on the road for a wild card game potentially in Houston. If Houston can slate it that way, you got a Dallas Keuchel David Price matchup. Hey, hopefully you win and go to the ALDS, but there's nothing guaranteed here. Nothing at all.
And that's a great point. Let's keep in mind when we talk about playing for a wild card spot, what we're talking about is playing for a one game chance. To get the wild card spot, and I don't want to rain in anybody's parade here because, I think most Jays fans are probably excited about this today, and my guess is that on January 2nd they're probably going to be sitting there if David Price signs a 7-year $380 million contract with the Dodgers. If this team hasn't won, people are going to start. Worrying about the price
one game
they
playoff looks a lot better with David Price in it.
I don't know who would you have gone with, and that's the thing. If it's on the road,
you mentioned that already.
It's probably Mark Burley, but then the Astros have a great. They have lefties fantastically. So you're putting in 37-year-old Mark Burley against the Astros against a guy who's got more power to his pitching game. I think the expectation now is gone, and I agree. I'm super excited. I'm not saying the deal is a terrible deal, not by a long shot. It's got an incredible risk to it.
No pun intended, it's a high price.
Oh,
it's a high price to pay.
But now I think the expectation, if I'm average Blue Jays fan, and I've paid the tickets, and I've bought the shirts, and I've bought the hats, To me, the wild card is the minimum. It's a disappointing season not to make the ALDS.
I always talk about John Gibbons on occasion needs to do things just to come out and say, I did it. I threw it off on the players. Now, Alex, if it doesn't work out, can go and say, I put it on the players. It's off me, onto the players.
And
now,
wouldn't you say this? John Gibbons, I know you guys know him better than I do. He won't have managed games yet in his major league career, 1,000+, like what the last 2 weeks of September will be if you're a game and two out of the wild. We talk about scrutinizing decisions now, like, hey, why is Aaron Loop in the 10th on Saturday? Wait till there's a week left in the season, and you're tied for a wild card spot, and something goes wrong.
Price, is meaningful baseball in September enough?
Pardon me?
Is meaningful baseball in September enough with David Price now?
You have to go to the playoffs.
Yep, and it'll be tremendously how they lose that game if they're just overpowered, depending on a wild card. What are you going to do if Dallas Keuchel's brilliant? What do? You just say, hey, it's a one game, and you took your chances. But I know there's people not ruling out catching the Yankees, Jeff. But you're going to need some help from the Yankees being a lot worse than they've been the last 2 months. They keep going at this pace, no matter even if you're 9-4 against them, 10-3 against them, even. You're going to need some breaks, and you're going to need to you'll have to hope that they stumble. They need an injury or two to their lineup.
That's right.
Yeah, or Tanaka. Exactly.
Yeah.
You name it.
Bill Shaken of the LA Times is reporting that in fact the Dodgers and the Jays were the teams that were the most ardent pursuers of David Price. Clearly the Jays were, because they won. This is from Bill Shaken. The Dodgers in the end declined to include their top prospects. It's infielder Corey Seager and pitcher Julio Urias in any deal. So there you go. And I think part of that, Greg, is that the Dodgers are probably thinking, you know, we'll take a shot at signing him in the offseason.
Makes sense, yeah.
They have Clayton Kershaw.
Greinke and Kershaw are under control for a long time. So yeah. I think Greinke's got at least 3 more years on his
team. Well, you have 2 aces on your team.
So just to let folks know, we're going to stay on the television side of things. We're going to break on radio in about 6-7 minutes, but we're going to stay on the TV side of things. Oh, we'll stay with it all the way through.
Is that a source,
Barker? Of the hour.
That is not.
how do you think, and I'll ask Kevin second, how do you think this affects rotational plans for next year? How's the week affect the concept of who pitches for the Jays? I know it's a secondary thought, but it's something Alex will be thinking about. It's something the younger pitchers would have been thinking about. You start with Marcus Stroman, and you probably start with Drew Hutchison.
Yeah, I think you're going to pick up Ari Dickey's option just because of the innings.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have Stroman healthy. I think it'll be one of Sanchez and Osuna. I don't see both of them starting. I don't see both of them relieving. Everything I've been told is that Osuna is the guy that they would like to start. So let's just, for argument's sake, go Stroman, Dickey, Osuna,
Hutchison,
Hutchison.
And you need to flesh it out somewhere with an Estrada or Hap type veteran via trade or via a short free agency deal. Right?
Exactly. That is one of the concerns here, is that you've gone from looking at possibly having guys like Jeff Hoffman and Daniel Norris contending for one spot next year to having question mark contending for one spot next year. You're going to have to address that in the offseason. Now, what I think this may really open, is the possibility of Alex moving either Bautista or Encarnacion in the offseason to get a pitcher.
For a starter that fleshes out the rotation, of course, in a world where David Price is only here for 11, 12 starts in the playoffs. And I, again, that's the reality of it. I know you talked about this. A caller brought this up with you post-Tulowitzki trade. Kevin and I have talked about it. You guys have talked about it. I don't think the logic dictates, hey, it's a great lineup here, I'm an elite starting pitcher, here I come. There's taxes, there's a living situation, there's the ballpark, there's turf for 2 more years. There's so many reasons why, and I fleshed it out with you because I wanted to get your take on it. I said, post Roger Clemens, and including A.J. Burnett, Who's the second best free agent pitcher that's ever signed here post-1997?
No starter. It would be no B.J. Ryan as
well. B.J. Ryan in the same season they got A.J. Burnett. And there's an overpayment. And if Washington pays Scherzer $210 for seven, how much more can you overpay than $210 for seven? What are we talking about?
The thing to keep in mind, and I'm like you, you know, people on Twitter were saying right away, boy, this is going to help recruit free agents, especially if they win.
No.
No, it won't, because the same thing that makes this a great hitter's ballpark makes it a crappy pitcher's ballpark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, this is where the Price stuff, this is the twist. David Price hasn't lost at the Rogers Center. He might be the exception. He might be the exception to that general rule. But anybody who thinks that David Price is going to accept less money to come to Toronto, it's at the end of the day, it's going to come down to money. And David Price and Zach Greinke will be the two highest profile free agent pitchers on the market next year. And I'll tell you what, there's going to be a lot of pressure in their agents from the Major League Baseball Players Association. There always is, to take the most money, because there's a trickle-down effect. So I would be stunned if there is a 10% chance of David Price re-signing.
And their agents alone, their own agent doesn't want them extending at this particular point in time. So I think you need to make almost like, I'll do this for listeners and viewers. I'll do a don't ask, don't tell, like Clinton back in 92. I won't tell you David Price isn't staying if you don't tell me it's a sure thing he's extending here. I'll make that deal. Let's just enjoy the season. It's done. The deal's done. Mm-hmm. So let's enjoy it now.
That's a pretty good deal. I like that. Let's at least wait a day or two before we start worrying about that. You know, we haven't heard from. We need to hear from Mike Wilner.
Yeah.
It's not mandatory, but it's encouraging.
It's encouraging.
It's not compulsory.
So, Mr. Wilner, Blue Jays talk tonight. You might have a little bit to talk about.
Yeah, it might be fun tonight. I can't believe, first of all, that you guys bring me on and I'm hearing about an extension already.
We're trying to cool the Jets, but we're also trying to not be too...
It's never enough.
...to look too far forward. We talked about next year's rotation, et cetera. Let's talk about no position players in the deal. And I think Detroit needs to flesh out their rotation. This may be this proverbial deal that made sense for both teams, Mike, on July 30th, 2015.
You know what? If Detroit's going to sell, this is a nice little package that they're getting. It's a ton for the Blue Jays to give up. And I've been on the show on Jays Talk on with you guys on all the time saying that the Blue Jays don't want to get into the rental market, that giving up all of your finest meats and cheeses for 12 starts from a guy is not going to, it really doesn't make sense. But the truth of the matter is that David Price, the abstract concept, is a lot different than David Price, the concrete thing. You can get him for 4 starts against the Yankees. You can get him, and now you're pretty much guaranteed that either Price, Burley, or Dickey starts the wild card game if that's what you have to settle for. And it makes this just an incredible, exciting 2 months. He gave up a lot. He gave up 18 years of Daniel Norris, Matt Boyd, and Jairo Laborde. And for me, Norris is the only one who has the chance to really, really hit. And I still think Daniel Norris is going to be something. I know that there are conflicting opinions in the Blue Jays front office. There are some people who think that he just needs to get through whatever is troubling him this year and he'll become that stud that everybody thought he was going to be. And there are some people who think he's not going to be anything. I still think Daniel Norris is really going to be something, but David Price is David freaking Price. And you know, this isn't Yovani Gallardo.
Yes.
This isn't Mike Leake. This isn't, it isn't even Johnny Cueto.
No, it's better. Yep.
You know, it's David Price. And this is, you know, Blue Jays have a legit number one for the first time since Roy Halladay was here. And one thing that's important to remember, too, is the spot that Price is taking in the rotation, right? He's taking the DuBront spot that since Aaron Sanchez went on the DL has been shared by DuBront and Scott Copeland and Matt Boyd.
Mm-hmm.
They've made 11 starts. The Blue Jays are 2-9 in those starts. That starter has an ERA of 7.55, and it's averaging less than 4 innings per start.
Mm.
That's what you're replacing with David Price. If instead of 2-9, that was 6-7, then the Blue Jays are 3 games out of first place right now.
This is from Jack Curry at the ES Network, Mike. He's just sketched out Price's potential starts. Pardon me again.
Oh, you can't do that.
I know, but again, but we're just throwing it again. Just
humor us.
All we
humor
know us. He gets the Royals on Sunday and the Yankees on Friday. That's all we know for sure.
Well, he may not get the Royals on Sunday. Anyhow, he's got.
He
that, they're
to.
just
no,
Mike.
No, he doesn't
Mike,
have to.
Mike,
but he has to.
Mike,
there's
just for Mike. I'm yanking your chain just for fun here. Just for fun here. Relax. I'm not Eddie from. I'm
fun.
Not Eddie from Fort Erie. Relax. August 2nd, Kansas City, 7th, Yanks, 12th, A's, 18th, Phillies, 23rd, Angels, 28th, Detroit, September 2nd, Cleveland, Boston, Yanks, Atlanta, Yanks. I mean, what we're talking about essentially is he's on pace right now to make the three starts against the Yankees. The other thing, and I think we're in agreement on this, Mike, I think you and I are in agreement on this, if you were going to go after a rental pitcher, this is the guy you want to go after.
There's nobody else. There's no other rental pitcher that you would give up something good for. I mean, that would have been fine. You want to trade Matt Boyd for Mike Leake or for Gallardo or something like that. But, you know, if you want to give up a Daniel Norris, this is the guy for whom you're giving up Daniel Norris. He's one of, you know, we talk so many times about, you know, what people have said to me, well, the Blue Jays don't have a number one pitcher. And my answer is always, well, most teams don't have a number one pitcher. You know, there aren't a lot. Every team has its own ace, but not a lot of teams have a real, legitimate, honest-to-goodness ace. And the Blue Jays do. This is one of the 10 best pitchers in Major League Baseball. And that's hugely significant. And this, you know, it's because the Blue Jays are 51-51, but we all think they're better than that because they've outscored the opposition by 100 runs. Even 100 runs over 102 games this season. Why are they still at 500? Well, they're still at 500 because they've had a crappy bullpen and they've had some terrible starting pitching. Mm. They don't have a crappy bullpen anymore now that LaTroy Hawkins and Aaron Sanchez are in there. And the starting rotation, R.A. Dickey has righted himself. He's got an ERA under 3 in his last 11 starts. And you've got now your only concern in that rotation is Drew Hutchison. And as your fifth starter, you can live with that. They're still winning a lot more of the games that Hutchison starts than they're losing because of this elite offense. The offense is better now with Troy Tulowitzki.
Well,
the defense is better now with Troy Tulowitzki.
Yeah, I was going to say that. It's been the bullpen, and it's been starters in April and May especially, and it's been a lousy defense, Mike. And the run where Jose Bautista had to DH was very costly for them in the field, let alone what was happening with Jose Reyes at shortstop. And a lot of that's been picked up. Just for clarification, or for some statistical clarification, David Price made 11 starts last year for the Tigers after the deal, 3.59 ERA. He had a 1.14 whip, and he was great in the Game 3 of the playoff. Started Justin Verlander ahead of David Price. They were only going to get one start in the ALDS, and they wanted Verlander on the road, Price at home. And Wei Yin Chen was fantastic, and they lost 2-0 in Game 3 of the ALDS, and they swept out in Detroit. But the bullpen botched the Scherzer and Verlander starts prior to that. So I think we all agree David Price is starting, unless he has to go in the wild card. And that's always the tricky business. And whether you'd want him in a wild card and then a Game 4, they just need – I think the expectations might change to where people would be satisfied prior to this deal this morning with getting into the wild card and taking their chances to where there's super excitement about your chances now in that wild card as opposed to, hey, it's a bit of a roll of the dice.
Right, and that's hugely significant.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always a roll of the dice. One game, the worst team in the big leagues can beat the best team in the big leagues in one game. It happens all the time. It's always a roll of the dice. It's less of a roll of the dice now. But now you've also got a legitimate chance of catching the Yankees because you're better than the Yankees right now, and you've got 13 games against them. But clearly, the Blue Jays should be in that wild card at the very least. I'm not really afraid of the Minnesota Twins, and a two-game lead with 60 games to go is nothing. And the Blue Jays are so much better right now than they were a week ago with Sanchez, Hawkins, Tulowitzki, and Price. This means that they're not going to be able to improve left field more than likely because they're spending about $8 million to bring Price in.
Right.
And I don't.
And there is no money, by the way. Yeah. Shai Davidi, the first to report this.
Hands, right?
Pardon me. There's no money changing hands, which is significant at this time.
Yeah, this is the Jays' whole war chest. So so they're not going to be able to go out and get a Ben Revere or a Gerardo Parra or somebody like that to take over for left field. Maybe Michael Saunders comes back in September and he's and he's okay. Who knows? Other than that, they'll live with the three guys that they're living with right now. But that's, I was going to say that's the only dead spot in the lineup. Ryan Goins might be one too if Devin Travis has to go on the disabled list.
Yeah.
But this is a really, really, really good team right now. And now it's up to the players. They have everything they need to win the World Series. It's up to the players to get it.
Yeah, Price is owed 7.1 approximately over the rest of the season. So, yeah, as Jeff noted, Jays will cover that. And expect that to see that reflected in all your paychecks. Maybe mine too. I don't know. You never know. 7.1. Okay.
Hey, Mike, you talked about how Alex is probably, you know, financially now essentially spent the financial capital he has. He would probably have to move some money out in order to make another thing, something else happen.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of suggestions out there. And, you know, we're hearing the same thing from some people within the organization that, I mean, as someone told me, Alex isn't hanging up his phone right now.
Well, never what would, his phone.
No, but when you look at what this, at this team right now, you look at this team right now, and I'm with you, a lot depends on Devin Travis's ultimate status. What other move could you see Alex making? Like, what else needs to be addressed here for this team?
I think left field. I think that's the most clear thing that you can go get and fix. But you're going to, again, you have to give up somebody good now to get a left fielder and get the team that you're getting him from to pick up the rest of his money.
Anthony Alford is still with the Blue Jays.
Yeah, Anthony Alford is still with the Blue Jays for good reason.
Yes.
And Anthony, I don't want to trade Anthony Alford for Gerardo Parra.
No.
I'll trade him for Carlos Gomez.
Yeah.
But I don't think the Milwaukee Brewers would do that.
Yes.
Mike, let me ask you real quick. How much of a voice did Jose Bautista coming out basically last year calling out Alex Anthopoulos? And this year, in between that, I know you said he didn't mean that, but to a lot, it sounded that way. How much do you think the superstar coming out on your team and basically saying Troy coming here is great, but that's basically not what we need? Did that have anything to do with David Price coming here, you think?
No, not at all. And that's not what, you know, it's not what Bautista meant. And I had like a 20-minute conversation with him yesterday off the record about all this and about the reaction to his comments. And he was 100% right in the way he felt like his comments were misinterpreted and that people were led the wrong way by the way things were headlined and the way his comments were introduced on some you know, highlight shows and stuff like that to prime people to think that he was upset. He was not upset. He was being respectful to the loss of Jose Reyes and very excited to have Troy Tulowitzki coming in. And I think when he said it's not necessarily what we need, but it's an upgrade, he meant he was surprised that they didn't get a pitcher because everyone was talking about him getting a pitcher. But I really, honestly, I think that when you have the opportunity to acquire a David Price, a guy of that caliber, you know, it's like they brought in Troy Tulowitzki, who's the best shortstop in baseball. They brought in Josh Donaldson, who's the best third baseman in baseball. They already have the best right fielder in baseball and arguably the best catcher in baseball. You have a chance to get one of the best pitchers in baseball. You know, you move heaven and earth to get it done. When those opportunities arise, you have to take them because those are, you know, those are the gambles that, well, not that David Price is a gamble, but those are the risks that that make champions.
Hey, Mike, thanks for this. Enjoy the rest of the walk. We'll be listening tonight, and we'll all be calling you. All three of us will call you after 10:45 p.m.
That is awesome.
Under pseudonyms.
All right. I appreciate it. I will look forward to hearing from all of you on Jays
right.
Talk tonight. I'm actually not out for a walk. I was out for lunch with my daughters, and I went outside
Beautiful.
The restaurant so that I could spend some time with you instead of
now,
spending time with the two things that I care for.
I don't know why they're so against the deal, but talk some sense into them before the game tonight. I don't know why they feel they don't like the rental cost.
The other one thinks LeBour was too much.
That's right. That's right. All right. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Michael.
Okay. Greg's on coming up in a little bit. It's Greg Brady, Jeff Blair. Jeff Blair will have primetime sports today between 4 and 7. We've yet to hear about a time for an Alex Anthopoulos news conference. There have been a couple of them this week, although we saw Troy Tulowitzki yesterday, Alex on Tuesday. And no talk as well about when David Price could potentially arrive. It's funny. An hour ago, David Price tweeted, I don't care what happens today. I'm taking BP at 2 in Camden Yards no matter what. I don't care what anyone says. And 3,500 people retweeted that. So that was 58 minutes ago.
Just a little information here. Marley Rivera, who covers the Yankees for ESPN. This is a terrific job. Source with knowledge of situation says that Michael Pineda will not start tonight because he is suffering from tightness in his forearm. Tightness in the forearm is quite often a precursor. I'm just saying this to an elbow issue. So if you need anything else, not that we would be overjoyed with an injury or an illness to a Yankees player, but there's something else there for you as well as you contemplate those 13 games between the Yankees and the Blue Jays. Michael Pineda not expected to make a start tonight because of tightness in his forearm.
Jeff, before the Yankees, before the Jays did this and acquired David Price, we all thought about the Dodgers. We all thought what an amazing 1-2-3 that would be, especially to take on potentially San Francisco's rotation or Washington's rotation. Did you think the Yankees should have? Was this more the year? Because I thought about that. We write veteran players. You supplement Tanaka and Pineda. Your bullpen's been amazing. So starters only have to get to the seventh inning. Is Brian Cashman going to regret more going in? They've got the one pitching prospect they did not want to trade no matter what.
I am kind of surprised because they've got four. They've got four top-end prospects in their organization, and a couple of them are position players. And I am kind of surprised that the Yankees didn't get involved in this, again, for a lot of the same reasons the Dodgers got involved. If you get David Price and you're the New York Yankees, that gives you 2 months to talk to him about a contract as a free agent, because you know you're going to be a player for David Price in the offseason. This gives you 2 months where no one else can talk to him. It's like having your own negotiating window. And I'm a little surprised by that. I wonder if maybe the Dodgers getting that Alex Wood deal didn't kind of cause them to step back a little bit.
Or the Yanks say, we're 7 games up. We think we can get him for free. We think we're going to be in the ALDS. We don't think we can blow this lead. Everybody's healthy. Luis Severino's the big guy, isn't he?
Yes.
In Scranton. They don't want to touch.
They don't want to touch. No.
Fantastic pitching prospect. He's got a 1.91 ERA in 11 starts at Scranton Wilkes-Barre.
You know, and people always talk about the Yankees doing stuff. Well, if you look at the past couple of years, Brian Cashman has become increasingly reluctant to move his minor league players. The Yankees, they don't have it's not like there's a salary cap, but
there's a budget.
Yeah. And you know what? George Steinbrenner isn't there anymore. So you can't just pick up the phone, even though his sons are still running the team. People around the Yankees will tell you, there isn't that guy you can pick up the phone and say, hey, George, I got a chance to get David Price. You know, okay, fine, go ahead and do it. Things are done a little differently around the Yankees.
I mean, if you think about it, the Rangers have more done the Steinbrenner thing.
Yes,
And Mike Ilitch has become a new Steinbrenner in the last 5 or 6 years.
Totally. And the Angels as well.
Greg Zahn is joining us now. Baseball Central, of course, airs tonight. It'll be a special one at that. We really wanted to get his reaction to it, and you'll see it tonight, obviously, after 6. Thanks for fitness in, Greg. What do you make of this monster transaction?
Clearly so excited. He's lost for words.
Lost for pause. He's with he's walking Wilner's daughters now. Mike's tweeting. I don't know. We'll work out the better phone line, sort that out. Maybe he's calling you, Barker. Is that a possibility?
You're getting a lot of beeps.
I can set that on silent, you know. I know how to do it.
Sorry.
Barker's getting all these tweets from people. Let me guess. I'm just taking a shot in the dark here. You played in winter ball with David Price.
No.
Okay.
But I did face him in the minor leagues.
Okay.
Took him deep, eh?
No, I did not.
Just turn on a dime.
I think he struck me out like 6 times.
talk to us about David Price, the pitcher. He's good. We know he's good. Why is David Price so good? What is it about his mechanics, his arsenal? What makes him so good?
I think it's more the attitude. I think it's the you can't hit me attitude, which doesn't come around a lot. It's, I know I have good stuff, and I know you can't hit me, and here it is, and I'm going to keep throwing it till you show me you can hit it. That's the difference between him and everybody else.
Greg Zahn rejoins us now. Your initial thoughts on the deal, there's so many layers to it, Greg, but your thoughts on the price paid to get David Price here for 11 or 12 starts leading into a potential playoff run?
In my opinion, not that high.
Okay.
You guys are making huge assumptions about Daniel Norris. That I don't ever make, especially when I've seen the guy's pitching mechanics. He's going to have to learn how to throw the ball all over again, or he's never going to get over the hump. He's always going to be a guy who underachieves based on the quality of the arm, but his mechanics are terrible.
So you'd say the Tigers didn't get enough, is what you're saying? Tigers didn't make out well trading one of the best pitchers.
I think they did. I mean, what was the choice? They got something for him. Because what happens if they go into the offseason without having traded him? What are they going to get, a draft pick for a guy like David Price? That's not enough. You're giving up a guy that's a proven number one and arguably one of the half dozen aces that are actually out there in the game for somebody who might be. You know, you might get a good pick, but it's still going to be a number of years away. Daniel Norris, I mean, I'm not saying he's not going to be a big league pitcher, but I don't think he's going to end up being, you know, Steve Carlton, or I don't even think he's going to end up being Cole Hamels right now if he doesn't fix the way he delivers the baseball. So to me, you know, I was listening, you know, talking about, well, the Yankees didn't do this. I'm just tickled to death that Jays did something, because it's going to be fun to watch this white guy pitch. I caught him, and Bark is dead on, bang accurate when you talk about, my stuff's better than yours. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep throwing it at you until you prove to me you can hit it. And that was the only job I had when I caught him in Tampa for, you know, a month and a half, was to hopefully keep him from being all that predictable.
And you know, Greg, your point is well made in this regard, too. As I sit here right now, the thing that surprises me more than anything else is that they traded Jeff Hoffman. I'm not that surprised they traded Daniel Norris. The Jays, in fact, earlier this year talked to the Atlanta Braves about a deal. They were looking at Cameron Maybin. There was talk that it also included perhaps Alex Wood, and that it was going to be a multiplayer deal. It fell apart for a variety of reasons. But I was told back then, and I'm sure you've heard it from the same people, the Jays organization had quietly, they'd soured a little bit on Norris. They'd soured. Again, yeah. Hoffman, the fact that Hoffman's gone surprises me. Norris, I'm not that surprised.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at Norris, and honestly, I'm not surprised at Hoffman either. Let's step back for a moment, and let's not make the assumption that just because Hoffman's a pitcher that he has to be traded for a pitcher. He got traded for one of the best shortstops in the game. Arguably, if I read correctly, the highest fielding percentage of any shortstop in history at this point in his career. So they got a premium player. It's not like they just traded Hoffman for, you know, some role player. They traded him for their starting shortstop for the next 5 years, and he's a legitimately a superstar. So I think it's okay that you trade a guy like that. I wouldn't have drafted him anyways. He had Tommy John surgery before. I'd kind of like an intact player when I pick number one.
Well, except the track record of guys who were drafted first coming off Tommy John surgery, Greg. It's not the red flag it used to be. I mean, it's just not.
It's always going to be in my mind. In my mind, it is.
Yeah.
In my mind, it is. I want a whole human being, not parts of one. So. And I saw the guy pitch. I saw the pitching mechanics. He's a red flag pitching mechanic guy for me as well.
Zonny, let me.
I love the fact they got Tulo for a kid that's not done anything yet.
Zonny, let me ask you, with what Alex has done the last couple of days, getting David Price, getting Troy Tulowitzki, if you're in that clubhouse, you're one of the 25 guys, and you've been on a lot of big league teams and a lot of big league seasons, what does this say to them, and what does it do to their morale? How do they go about from today the rest of the season?
Well, one thing it says to me is check your ego at the door, boys. It's all about winning. It's no longer about development. It's no longer about who's the most popular guy in the city of Toronto, who gets all the love. It's about we got to win ball games right now. We're here to win. We're serious about winning. Yeah, we're, you know, 7-8 games back, whatever it may be, but we think with these additions, we can bridge, we can close the gap and be serious about winning. That's the only thing that anybody should be thinking about at this point is that check the ego at the door. It's all about the W's from now on.
Greg Zahn's joining us. It's Blue Jays Royals, first of four tonight. Johnny Cueto will make his start on Friday. Still some discussion as to whether David Price starts Sunday against the Royals, Monday against the team they're actually chasing. The Twins, Daniel Norris, Matt Boyd, and Yarrow Laborte all go out the door. So three starting pitchers, no position players. In your estimation, Greg, had they not done anything today and had they not done anything yesterday, would you have had them in the postseason? Could this team have won enough games at 51-51 to get there without this move?
Hard to say. You know, I've seen We've seen the Jays, you know, win 11 in a row. We saw them win 20 games last May, if I remember correctly. Everything's possible. It would have been extremely difficult because the teams that are ahead of them are good and they're getting better. I think without this move, it would have been extremely difficult, but nothing's impossible. We've seen stretches where they go two or three times around the rotation and everybody throws up quality starts and the Jays look like a championship caliber ball club. So I won't say that it's impossible, but I think from multiple angles, this was a necessary move by Alex and the Jays. This tells me and it tells the fans that when they talk about winning or they talk about their desire to win and bring a championship back to the city of Toronto, that it's not just lip service, that they're actually willing to go out there and pay the price. And honestly, I still think that they didn't really pay that heavy of a price for David Price.
Hey Greg, you know, you've been around the game for a long time as a player. You're now a broadcaster. Have you seen a trade deadline like this?
No, where guys are pulling the trigger way early?
Yeah.
I think everybody's paranoid about what's going to be left over. It's kind of like musical chairs or musical prospects, so to speak. It's like, well, if we wait till the last minute, we might get a better deal. But then again, if we wait too long, our competitors might get this guy, and then we're really pooched. This is some fast and furious wheeling and dealing. And it was fun. I woke up and had my coffee this morning, and I went to bed thinking that Carlos Gomez was going to be a Met. Now he's not a Met. Then maybe he is again. I don't know. It's all over the place. It's kind of fun, to be honest with you. The All-Star break didn't rejuvenate me at all. This is rejuvenating me right now. It's giving me some wind in my sails. This is interesting to me.
Hey, Greg, we'll let you roll. We'll watch for you and Jamie tonight. First to four and a bunch of games at home in a row. And we'll see when David Price pitches, Sunday or Monday, like we said. Thanks for doing this for us.
My pleasure. Exciting times, guys.
Greg Zahn joining us on the Brady and Walker time slot, and we're lucky enough to have the Baseball Central guys, Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker, stay on. Jeff Blair, I think, sticking around to have a chat with Daniel Norris, top of the hour.
Yeah, love to.
And then get your extra breathing in before 4 o'clock.
You know Walker wants to be here, by the way.
So badly. But there's the patio calls when you're on a staycation. Like he is, it's one of those weird things. Kevin Barker, thanks for doing the extra loop and sticking around. There he goes. Baseball Central tomorrow at 12 noon. I did want to bring up the interesting thing. David Price dealt last year, and the big thing coming back in that deal to Tampa was Drew Smyly. Mm-hmm. There's two reasons people say, well, yeah, it looks like the Jays paid less. Price had an extra year in his contract,
yeah,
and that's a huge factor there. It's like you can't. Like, I read a couple of people last night say, well, the Cole Hamels deal, and that changes the price. They're totally separate things. That's $80 million the Texas Rangers are absorbing. And I'll tell you what, also, there is no Drew Smyly. There's no established, young, 25-year-old pitcher who's proven what Drew Smiley's proven or was the prospect. I mean, you can like Drew Hutchison even prior to this season, and obviously his season's been a disappointment. But there wasn't a real fit to send a Drew Smyly, so you had to dig a Norris out of the minor leagues.
Yeah, one of the things I find really interesting about this deal too is the timing of it. And it'll be interesting to talk to Alex about this, because take a look at what happened in the past couple of days. I mean, Kansas City, a team with a lot of prospects, they had a pitching need. They moved to get Johnny Cueto. Texas, a team with a lot of prospects, they had a pitching need. They moved to get Cole Hamels. Houston, a team with a lot of prospects, they had a pitching need. Yeah. They went after Scott Kazmir. Alex essentially waited until a lot of these other players had essentially
made their move. Yeah.
And I find it interesting that at the end of the day, and you think back a week ago, all the teams that were looking for pitching, at the end of the day, the biggest pitcher on the market, there were only two teams, according to most of our sources, two teams that really made a play for him, the Dodgers and the Jays. I'm not going to say that Alex and Andrew Friedman manipulated the market, but it sure sounds like they played their cards right, both of them. In the end, Alex gave up more to get him, but both of them played their cards right.
Yeah, it's funny we're talking about, by the way, 3 o'clock news conference. It'll air here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan during the last hour, Brady and Walker, prior to Primetime Sports with Jeff Blair today. 3 o'clock, Alex Anthopoulos will be live here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. It's funny, we kicked around Houston and Houston Wildcard and Dallas Keuchel and the Astros. Last night, if you didn't notice, if you didn't stay up late, Houston won their game. The Angels lost. They took a game lead are the Angels and the pressure from their ownership, Artie Moreno. Is there pressure there? They fired the GM this year. Pressure on the Angels potentially to make a move. They got Garrett Richards back from injury. He's been about as good as he can be post injury. Mm-hmm. CJ Wilson's had a much better year than he's had in the last couple, but sure, he's a declining asset. I wonder about big money team, got your Mike Trout, you got your guys, them getting back in, whether they feel a little bit of heat in now that they're in a wild card spot. They've lost six of their last seven, too.
Yeah, they'd be the team. They're the team I'm kind of watching right now. I mean, they've made a couple of moves. You got to remember, Bill Stoneman, their general manager, who's now the general manager of the team, he's conservative to the core. He's not necessarily one for the bold move. They've made a couple of getting Shane Victorino. They made a couple of minor acquisitions. I've kind of thought that if this thing breaks the way it's now breaking, at some point you're going to see the Angels maybe go after James Shields or something like that. Shields, to me, is... I mean, if I'm San Diego, I'm not trading. If I'm San Diego, I'm not trading James Shields. But at the same time, if... Los Angeles, if the Angels make you a deal, you might have to look at it. And yeah, I'm with you. That's a team right now. I think the Dodgers will step back. Okay, they lost David Price, but this Alex Wood deal is going to be finalized. They've done okay. Plus, they had Greinke and Kershaw, which isn't a bad start. I'm kind of waiting to see what the Angels do in terms of adding another arm. Because you're right, I don't like that rotation going into the playoffs.
I'm going to ask you a question about the Padres in a sec, but let's go back to the American League and talk about Jeff Samardzija and the White Sox. Mm. Is that a tough call for Kenny Williams to make? Being 2.5 out, they've roared back into this. They have a terrible run differential. They haven't been a very good team this year, but they did spend in the offseason. They did win a bidding war to get Melky Cabrera as a free agent. He was sought after. You got Jose Abreu, I know, rookie, but he's also 28. They've got a team that's kind of in their prime, and with Sale and Samardzija, and Quintana's had a good season, they've got a rotation that might be able to get into a punching match with somebody, but they got to feel they're in it. Like, they got a huge call to make on Samardzija.
If I'm them, I hang on to Samardzija. I think in some ways, if you look at the White Sox, they're probably thinking to themselves that they're not entirely out of the wild card picture, because they do have, and they've got Chris Sale. I mean, they've got some good starting pitching. I also wonder, the fact that Samardzija hasn't moved now, I wonder if maybe there hasn't been some discussion about him possibly signing an extension with the White Sox. That kind of surprises me a little bit. And it wouldn't surprise me if we find out that the White Sox have had some discussions with him on a possible extension. Or, you know, it could be, too. Maybe Kenny Williams has stood back and said, kind of done the same thing Alex Anthopoulos did. Let the feeding frenzy end. I'm sitting here now with Jeff Samardzija. I know the Dodgers wanted another starting pitcher. Maybe Kenny Williams has just kind of waited things out. But I've never, Greg, really felt the Padres and the White Sox, I've never seen them as having the crying need to move that everybody seems to think they do.
Well, the Padres remind me a little bit of, with the Dodgers and the Giants there, when you were covering the Jays a lot more on a nightly basis in the Yankees and Red Sox heyday, it's like, hey, do you want to blow your brains out and spend? Do you want to bring big names here in the late 90s? Do you want your Troy Gloss? Do you want the Burnett Ryan offseason? With only one wild card, you'd say, what's the point? And now so I think San Diego opens this up and says there's two wild cards. So yes, Justin Upton, Matt Kemp, James Shields, those are all really appealing things. I can't tell my fans, and you know what San Diego's like. It's fickle. It's a great place to live, but there's so much more to do than go to 81 ball games. There is. It's amazing.
But they've got a huge regional TV contract. There's no financial pressure.
I know. Will Myers, I'm not even mentioning, who's been hurt. Yeah. I can't pull the chute this fast on a guy like Shields. This would have been like the Jays in 13, moving, and although Josh Johnson wasn't even tradable in 2013 when they had him. But this is like the Jays saying, hey, we're in. 6 months later, you tell your fans you're out. I don't know if you can do that to your base. And they've had a bit of a long-suffering base. They made the playoffs once in, what, 10, 11 years? World Series in 98 was a long time ago.
Yeah, and the other thing was San Diego. If San Diego keeps a competitive team on the field, that is one market that has no problem attracting free agents.
Not at all.
So if you keep your team together, and there's, I mean, they've got to do something. Matt Kemp is a horrible contract. They've got to do something there. But keep your team together. Go into the free agent market next year. What if David Price decides he wants to sign in San Diego next year? You've got David Price and James Shields. They're close, reunited again. This is why I'm not entirely certain that San Diego's in back up the truck mode the way a lot of people think they are.
Yeah, I don't think so either. What do you think about David Price's playoff experience? Do you think that factors in? Can we overrate that? I've had people tweet and say, yeah, 08 World Series. He was on that team. He did not start. He was 22 years old. He made five appearances and a spot start in September. But their rotation was Shields, Garza, Kazmir, and Andy Sonnenstein, believe it or not, in the World Series against Philly. So David Price has never pitched in the World Series. He's got five playoff starts, and he's got about a 4 ERA. There have been a couple starts. Texas lit him up a couple times. A couple starts that didn't go well for him in the postseason. Does that mean anything?
You know, it's funny. I once had someone tell me, and it's really true, pay no attention to postseason experience unless it's bad postseason experience. In other words, I think we know more about Clayton Kershaw based on what has happened in the postseason than we do David Price. The postseason experience, it's nice. Is it going to make a difference down the stretch? I don't think so. Now, the one thing, David Price is pitching he's going to get a good contract next year. But put yourself in David Price's position. If this thing goes well, and he's pitching in a ballpark where he literally does not lose, all that's happening is, you know, the dollar figures are going up and up and up. But playoff experience doesn't really, I'd rather take somebody with no playoff experience than bad playoff experience.
People might remember his Tiger start at the Rogers Center turned into that 19-inning game in August, believe it or not. That was his third or fourth start, and my recollection is he was very decent enough in that game. Here it is. He was six innings in, four earned runs, three walks, six strikeouts, but that was the August 10th game that went on and on and on. The Jays won in 19 innings. Tigers end line was five runs, 22 hits, and one error. And the Jays beat him 6-5 in that game.
By the way, Chris McCoskey reporting, Chris McCoskey is the Detroit News sports writer, is reporting that David Price is on the field at Camden Yards doing his between starts work. So there you go. The deal the Jays have announced the deal is done. But he is on the field at Camden Yards doing his between starts work.
Alex Anthopoulos is going to do a lot of things. He can't prevent an on-field. Is there a sprinkler head at Camden Yards? Where's Michael Saunders? Marcus Stroman? Don't let him do any bunt drills.
I could just see them out there. Come on, David. Throw it real hard. Throw it harder yet. So anyhow, there you go. As long as he doesn't break down and start crying like Wilmer Flores, we're all right there.
It's going to be fascinating. And yeah, I think there's Wilner, when he was on with us, brought up, by the way, Daniel Norris, top of the hour. We'll talk to him and we'll have more guests on before Alex Anthopoulos at 3 o'clock with the acquisition of David Price by the Blue Jays. There is you can't only get so strategic with plotting things out. And it's not like they're going to be plotting out September 30th on July 30th and who starts in the wild card. But catching Minnesota, you might say you'd like to have your guy in there for that game. The Royals are here as well. He could potentially go on Sunday against Kansas City. Does it matter to you one way or the other? Is there a right way or a wrong way to play it?
I think you leave it up to him.
If he feels good on 5 days rest.
I think you leave it up to him. You go, David, look, I mean, you know, the moving, the trade, you know, whatever. You leave it up to David Price. And my guess is David Price says, as long as I can pitch at the Rogers Center, I don't care who you start me against. I'm not a big fan of getting cute with things at this stage of the year. If a guy pitches every 5 days, I like to keep him pitching every 5 days. I don't like looking too far ahead. But I don't know. I just think you leave it up to David Price. The fact that he's doing his regular between starts work today would suggest to me that he thinks he's going to pitch Sunday.
Yeah, it makes some sense. And can you imagine? I mean, David Price had a tweet back in 2012. People were digging up his old tweets, and he said, this was post, I bet you it's post the Dickey trade because it's December, and it's obviously post the Marlins trade. But he basically, it was a little chiding of Toronto fans saying, hey, I hope when I come up there this year, meaning with the Rays, that place is packed. I've never seen it packed. And you're like, you play at Tropicana Field. Yeah. What are you doing? You have 9,000 people there in the middle of July.
Hey, I'm just going to throw something at you, Greg, because I mean, you lived and you worked in Detroit. What are Detroit Tigers fans thinking today?
That this is the right thing to do. I do think it's pretty universal that they feel this is the right thing to do. that, like, they've had disappointing runs in the postseason, and they made the World Series. I was in Detroit and St. Louis in 06, living here by the time they played San Francisco. But those series just seemed over before they started. And so it's great, too. They swept the Yankees. I mean, they pounded the Yankees in 12 in the ALCS, four straight games, and then they're swept four straight by San Francisco. You might remember that was the famous game in game two where Prince Fielder fell down. And he's fallen a lot between third and home.
That's right.
Because he fell down the next year in the ALCS against the Boston Red Sox and did his belly flop. So I think they feel that it's the right thing to take the foot off the gas a little bit. There's been a lot of winning and a lot of home playoff dates. But they, I don't think they thought this team was magically going to catch fire. I do think there's some... there's some pressure with Brad Ausmus. You and I have had a joking conversation about Jim Leland.
We shouldn't go there.
But I was so wrong about Brad Ausmus. I don't think this has been a good fit. I think there's been a lot of criticism. They acquired Joachim Soria last year. A lot of criticism about how they handled him and continuing to trot a guy that looked done in Joe Nathan out for starts. And maybe it comes back, too, to Dave Dombrowski. Maybe he got oversold by someone on still thinking Joe Nathan had... because they went with Valverde, Albuquerque, Benoit closing, and they just thought, let's get that proven guy in Nathan. We don't know if he'll ever pitch again.
I can tell you, you weren't the only person that thought that Brad Ausmus was going to be a lights-out manager. I mean, there wasn't a person that I know around baseball who didn't have a lot of respect for him and who hadn't. I mean, Brad Ausmus was being picked as a manager while he was playing.
And it felt like if he didn't do this job, there was another one coming, a little like Ryan Sandberg.
Sure.
I know not the playing career, not a Hall of Famer, not by a long shot, but catchers get that sort of, it's funny with ex-catchers. It's sort of like people who talk about, you'll get calls, I'll get calls. It's like, how about Greg Zahn for manager? And Greg's talked about it. Like, it's like, you can see how catchers see the field. There's a reason many of them have made very good managers. And Ausmus, though not the greatest talent ever in his career, was always thought of as a real smart, savvy catcher. He'd handle the media well. It's also hard to follow a legend. And Leland was beloved by a lot of the Detroit fan base because the winning coincided. I lived there when they hired Alan Trammell at the end of 03 or at the end of 02, and I thought, this isn't going to go well. The players aren't here, and they're going to have to fire. Like, you imagine people say, hey, how about hiring Robbie Alomar here? Well, I know Robbie Alomar's beloved here, but he played here 6 years. Alan Trammell played in Detroit 19 years. It was awful to watch him with a 66 and 96 ball club.
Yeah, they were brutal.
Awful. So you knew he was going to pay the price. Jim Leland comes in, but by then Pudge had committed to be there. Maglio Ordóñez had committed to be there. The young pitchers were ready. So bottom line is, I think they're pleased with this, and I think they want Cespedes traded and restocked. But you're right. They want right back in the offseason and get a starting pitcher or two. And make sure the bullpen's shored up. They like Soria. I think Soria is going to be the closer there for some time. It was an astute trade for Detroit to make with the Texas Rangers, and even Fielder for Kinsler. They had absorbed money with Prince, but they got a second baseman, and you've noted it before. It's a huge reason they could trade Devin Travis. They knew Devin Travis was all right, but there was nowhere for him to play. He couldn't play short. You couldn't convert him to shortstop. He has to be a second baseman for probably his whole career as a Blue Jay, or at least the prime of his career.
Yeah, it's I just find it interesting. I when I look at the Detroit Tigers, just that window of opportunity, it's almost as if it just kind of snuck away from them or got away from them.
I think they were playing in a soft division too, so even the worst years felt like Minnesota won game 163 against them in 09 and kind of snuck the division away. Cleveland with Francona hasn't lived up to some of their hype when they've
signed
three.
Sports Illustrated picked them to win the World Series.
Do you remember that 1987 with Corey Snyder on the cover?
Exactly.
And I think they lost 90 plus games that year. So here's the thing. Cabrera's 31. Kinsler's 32. J.D. Martinez is 26. Victor Martinez still rakes, and he's 36. So I think they they've got a good window for a couple years there. And honestly, Jeff, the Verlander stuff has to be an unbelievable relief. And it doesn't make it a great contract. And it doesn't make it great that they lost Max Scherzer for nothing. But they weren't going to trade Max Scherzer on the way to the division title again in the ALDS. These things happen sometimes, and guys leave in the offseason.
Take a look at the pitchers they've let go, though,
who
have left them. Scherzer, Doug Fister.
Who's not having a great year in Washington.
Not having a great year.
And in a contract year, like this is, if Doug Fister's a free agent 2 years ago, he's cashing in. We're talking the kind of John Lester money that Lester got in the offseason. You're not going to get that now, barring some big push to the finish for Doug Fister and maybe a good playoff starter, too. He's not. By the way, we're going to open up the phone lines, 416-870-0590, star 590. We're happy to keep talking, but we're happy to get your opinion on as well. Jeff will do the same on Primetime Sports in 2 hours to reset. David Price is a Toronto Blue Jay on his way to Toronto from Baltimore. I guess after he finishes shagging fly balls and stretching out and doing put. My heavens, get him off that field immediately.
Watch out for those sprinkler heads.
It's Matt Boyd going the other way. And, of course, Daniel Norris, another Blue Jays pitcher in the mix, but no position players. Dalton Pompey stays. Anthony Alford stays, et cetera, et cetera. 416-870-0590, star 590. You can call us as well, 888-666-0590. This is a very, very bold move. It's an unbelievably exciting move. It's a bold move. It's a risky move for a 51-51 team. The record's your record. I agree with Mike. They're a better team than this. Their Pythagorean win-loss has them at like 59-43. They've lost some games that they absolutely positively should have won. Every team can say that. I don't think maybe Oakland. No team in Major League Baseball can say it as much as the Blue Jays can this year.
No, they needed they needed an arm. I don't think I've ever seen a team, Greg, that, and I know we all, you can play around with numbers. I don't think I've ever seen a team that from the start of the season to the midway point of the season to the All-Star break, the trade deadline, I don't think I've seen a team where you've been able to say from start to finish, well, they still need pitching. They still need pitching. They were winning. They won 11 games in a row. People were saying, hey, that's great. They still need pitching. And here they are. Getting David Price, as we said, he is the trade deadline's version of the nuclear weapon. Everything I'm hearing is that they're going to try to add a reliever, possibly a closer in the next, 26 hours before the trade deadline. I've been told that they're going to be active, and that's what they're focusing on.
And this is how they've had to get pitchers. We've said it already today. You documented it in your book. It's still a struggle to get free agent arms here. Until you're playing, you either got to move the fences back, you got to play on grass, you got to do a lot of different things, and then maybe free agents come. And this isn't 1992 anymore, okay? It's very difficult to haul in a Jack Morris or a Dave Stewart, and they haven't been able to outside of A.J. Burnett since Roger Clemens. So this is how you acquire pitchers. Huge push for Ubaldo Jimenez, and they couldn't get him. We all know about the Irvin Santana contract boondoggle, et cetera, et cetera. It's the one thing I can't blame Alex for. It's, you can say, hey, I didn't like this trade. I didn't like this trade. This position player didn't work out. I never have blamed Alex Anthopoulos for not being able to sign elite free agent starting pitchers, because I know the drill and you know the drill.
And let's remember this. When the Jays were signing elite pitchers, the market was different. They had the highest payroll in the game in 92 and 93. They were the team that was driving the market. Times have changed now. It's not the same market. It's the Dodgers that drive it. It's the Angels that drive it. It's to a certain degree now the Yankees. And people need to always keep that in mind. This is a different era. This is a different era.
Yeah. But the funny thing was, September was really hard to judge. We've done radio a long time in this city, and there's meaningful baseball in September, which the Jays could argue they played past Labor Day, but it was still very much, hey, we need a couple wild card teams to fall apart, and we got to go 12-3.
It was half empty.
Right.
It was a half empty
feeling. Like, I remember, I think they had a series with Baltimore in August, and I remember coming into a couple offices, and they're like, hey, really push tickets. They're worried about tickets. I can't imagine in September, on September 15th, and it's got zip to do with Leafs training camp, Leafs preseason, anything, because expectations for the Leafs are so low this year. I think it's the first time I can honestly say without feeling wrong about it, there you could get 40,000 on a Tuesday night in late September because of where they'll be in the race. They may not even be in the spot, but if they're a game or two out of the spot, the games mean, think about what it was like to be in this stadium between the fall of 89 up until the strike. Every September was exactly the same, whether they were up three games or down three games.
Yeah, and let's not forget, this is going to pack the ballpark, you would think. If the Jays play meaningful baseball or get into the playoffs, the TV ratings in August and September are going to be silly sick. I mean, as it is right now, 750,000 is not out of the norm for Jays TV ratings. And the fact of the matter is, for this company that owns the Blue Jays, there is a financial return. There is a reward for this team doing well, for people coming out to the ballpark.
Yeah.
You know, it's there's just so much going on. This is such a multi-layered thing. It's one of those things when you, the more you think about it, this idea comes up and that idea comes up. And what about this and what about that? I expect to see the ballpark filled.
And again,
every day.
I looked it up. The Jays were 5.5 games up on the Milwaukee Brewers in 92 heading into September when they made the David Cone transaction. So I don't think there's no comparison because it was a month later in the season. You only got 7 starts out of Cone. You're going to get 11 or 12 at a price. I can't think of a comparison point to anything the Blue Jays have ever done close to the deadline. But I also can't think of a deal that's got more pressure on. Even when Roger came here, people were like, the Yankees just won the World Series in 96. Baltimore is still pretty good. Boston was having some down years, but developing younger players and became cash rich. There wasn't pressure on Roger Clemens to help deliver a pennant. There will be. There will be on every single David Starr price to win every one of these games.
Oh, yeah.
That he pitches.
I mean, you know, the crap got real today. if you're Jose Bautista, it got real today. Time to get it done.
Our number, 416-870-0590. Let's go to Mike in Toronto. You're on with Jeff Blair, Greg Brady. Alex Anthopoulos coming up to share his thoughts live here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan at 3 o'clock. Go ahead, Mike.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What do you think of the deal and the price that was paid and the risk that's involved with a 500 team doing this?
Well, first of all, with the deal and the price that was paid, I'm happy with both of those. I think this was a great move. I'm glad to see them make such a bold move, and I'm happy with the price. You know, I think that you get these two guys that you've gotten this week, not give up a Stroman, you know, I'm happy with it. I think the key, your last point, you know, the pressure here and the risk involved. When Kansas City makes the playoffs this year, that's going to mean every team in the league, every team in the majors will have made the playoffs at least twice since the last time the Jays did. You've got a setup now where a third of the teams in the league make the playoffs. There's 15 teams in the league, 5 of you are in the playoffs, and the Jays haven't even had a sniff of it. So to me, you know, you absolutely have to make the playoffs after doing a deal like this, or you might as well move the team for all I'm concerned.
Yeah, it's funny, too. Thanks for the phone call. You think about the Jays, and 87, 88 games might get you in the wild card, long shot that 86 will. Jeff, they've won that many games before. They haven't won 89, they haven't won 90, but they've had good teams. If there's a second wild card in 1998, they make it. I think in 03 or 04, there's a second wild card team. There's 2 years they would have made it had there been a second wild card. There is this year. And I'm not saying you can't shoot to catch an Astros or an Angels, but the odds are longer. They're considerably longer to find your way into that spot. You probably are facing a scenario where you're playing the team that doesn't win the AL West on the road in October. And hey, if people asked us that a week ago, you'd sign up for that and take it. You have to.
It'll be interesting it'll be interesting to decide, and I'm sure we can have this discussion, whether or not making that one game play-in constitutes ending your playoff drought. If you lose the one game playoff, have you ended the playoffs?
Well, Walker gets furious at me because I say, yeah, if you go to the one car, the game, you're on the road, are you really in the playoffs? You don't have a home date?
It's a legitimate point.
How many Blue Jays fans travel really well? We know that. How many are you going to have? 4,000? Tickets are going to be harder to get for a one-game ALDS in Houston, Texas, or Orange County, California. Tony in Hamilton, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan with Jeff Blair, Greg Brady. Go ahead, Tony.
Hey, guys. Just a quick point. If with Price now, what are the chances of us re-signing him come next season, given the fact that we've given up 3 young prospects? And how are those prospects tried to get online as far as, are they top-end prospects with besides Norris? How are the other two guys within MLB prospects?
I think we're thanks for the question. I think we're in agreement. It's going to be very, very difficult to sign David Price. There's going to be this is his money shot this November and December, and he can take it anywhere he wants. A couple folks on Twitter are going to point out, I mean, there's 8 or 9 teams that are going to put together packages, and he may very well do one of these big NFL tours and go visit places. There's a destination also in the Cubs, incredibly close with Joe Maddon.
Yes.
Pitching, rejuvenating the Cubs there in that city. Theo Epstein's your GM, Joe Madden's your manager. If the money's right with the Cubs, I don't know how anyone else competes. He owns that city if he gets the Cubs into the World Series. My God, what an opportunity.
Clayton Kershaw has a $215 million contract for 7 years. Max Scherzer, $210 million for 7 years. Those are the top two pitching contracts. Felix Hernandez, $175 million for 7 years. So you're looking at, for David Price, well, you're probably looking someplace in the neighborhood of $225 million for 7 years, because he's going to be, I know Zach Greinke will be on the market, but I think most people would rather pick David Price. I don't see David Price signing here.
No, there's too many things that work against it right now. And again, that's why it's been hard to criticize. As for the prospects, I hadn't heard of the third guy.
LeBour is actually, it's funny.
Is he at high A right now?
I was actually trying to figure out where he is. He is really, he's a guy the organization likes for what that means. We actually saw him pitch in the minors when we were down there in spring training. And place was just crawling with scouts when he pitched. He's an international free agent, and people in the organization have spoken very highly of him. Would I put him on the same level as a Daniel Norris? No. There's another guy in the organization still, Sean Reed Foley, who has not been traded as of yet. And Sean Reed Foley is another highly touted pitching prospect at single A Dunedin this year. And these numbers really don't mean a great deal. Jairo LeBour was 2-7. His ERA was 4.59. He had 70 strikeouts and 44 walks in 80 and a third innings. But he's very young. He just turned 21 years old from the Dominican Republic. He's a tall left-hander who throws hard. I think he was rated, I think Baseball America, for what the ratings are worth, had him rated number 19, which would probably make him maybe their fourth best pitching prospect.
Regardless of the risk of a deal, how much has Anthony Alford increased his standing with the organization in the last 5 months?
He really impressed people. I think this spring training was the first time people in the organization really got a handle on him. And I spent some time out at the minor league camp. He was a guy, you know, his background, highly touted NCAA Division I quarterback. He really established himself in the organization as a go-to guy. He was a big personality. He's a terrific athlete. And I mean, I've got to tell you, I know that there are people very close to Alex who will tell you that long-term, they see him as being a much better major leaguer than Dalton Pompey, a much more impactful player than Dalton Pompey. I'm quite frankly surprised that he wasn't included in this deal. And as I look at the deal that the Jays have made, I'm a lot more comfortable making this deal than had the Jays included Anthony Alford as was originally
said. Teams are going to more likely ask for Alford than Pompey at this point.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's not even close.
Look, with all due respect to Dalton Pompey, you put 100 baseball people in the room, 65 to 70 will say fourth outfielder.
Yeah.
A lot of people think that Anthony
Alford
is.
Which is Alford how Kevin Pillar projected.
Yes.
Right? They are probably, they've gotten by a lot working out well in the outfield this year, except for Pillar and except for Colabello, but he's not an outfielder.
But people look at Alford as being a guy who could potentially be better.
Yeah. It's Greg Brady, Jeff Blair. Four games with the Kansas City Royals beginning tonight. The Kansas City Royals will move on and play the Detroit Tigers next week. To there we go. To Jamie Samuelson from Jamie and Wojo on 97.1 The Ticket, the Tigers flagship station. Jamie's been on with both of us before. Great to have you on as always. I hope we didn't interrupt anything.
Would you think I was napping or something?
There could be some resting going on. You like a mid-afternoon siesta as much as the next guy.
There's no resting going on. No, just following the trade wires, I'm sure, just like you guys are.
Jeff asked me to sort of project how Tiger fans feel about this, but you're right there. I think with the amount of playoff games played, with the amount of good this ball club still can do, no one feels a window shutting, but it needs, as Dave Dombrowski referenced, the reboot. Trade these two players, especially Price and Cespedes, get what you can, and get right back out there in free agency in November and December and not waste prime years, right, for Cabrera, Kinsler, Martinez, et cetera, Verlander, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. I, You know what's funny is I do think there's the sentiment here that the window is closing. I don't know if it's closed for good, but I mean, this, you know, the names you just mentioned, every one of them, Greg, it's not like they're on their way up, and it's not like they're necessarily plateauing. Cabrera probably is, but you look at Martinez, you look at Kinsler, even Verlander, who had a terrific outing yesterday, you know, they're kind of heading in the wrong direction. So, you know, I used to use this metaphor with you. If the Tigers were a stock, Greg, would you buy or sell? And yeah. I think you'd probably sell. That being said, they still do have all the players you mentioned, and they did, in a way, restock their farm system a bit with this deal. So if you're asking how Tiger fans are feeling about it, I think they feel pretty good, understanding that most fans don't have an intimate knowledge of what they can expect from guys like Norris and Boyd. You know, Anthony Alford is a name that fans are aware of, and I think they were hoping they would have been involved in this deal, but it's not. But look, the Tiger farm system is barren. There is nobody down there of any consequence, no players in the top 100 from baseball's prospectus. And part of that's because, you know, they've traded a lot of these guys over the years, but part of that's honestly because Dave Dombrowski is a very good general manager when it comes to making trades for the most part and signing free agents. His drafting record is really not all that good when you look at who he's drafted during his time in Detroit.
Jamie, with these pitching prospects that the Tigers are getting, it's almost as if they've, you know, obviously they've addressed that issue with the minor league system. But Greg and I were talking about this. I look at the Tigers, and I agree with you. I think the window of opportunity is closed. But I look at that lineup. I look at the general manager. I look at the owner. Clearly, they're a motivated front office. I don't think Tigers fans, and this may be why they've kind of taken this approach, they probably realize that this doesn't necessarily have to be a long rebuild, does it? You could probably get this thing back on track within a matter of maybe an offseason and another trade deadline.
I think that's definitely the hope, Jeff. I mean, obviously, for years, they have won the Central, and that's not the case anymore. They are no longer the power in the Central Division based on what Kansas City has developed and based on what they've done over the last few days in terms of trades. The issue with the owner is one of the great mysteries in the city of Detroit, and that is the fact that Mike Ilitch is not getting any younger. He appears at the ballpark and at the Joe less and less and less, and there is a feeling that he has handed over control to his son, Christopher, and the Ilitch family. And how will they run the team? Mike Ilitch is one of the great owners in recent history in terms of desperation to win. That's how he ran his hockey team. And over the last, I'd say, decade or so, that's how he's run his baseball team. But is he still the one calling the shots? And the fact that Dave Dombrowski was able to convince him or convince his family that this is the time to reboot, this is not the time to go for it, is, I don't know if it's a strong indicator, but I think it's an indicator that maybe Mike Ilitch is not calling the shots. Because you guys know, you were reading the same things I was. Leading up to yesterday, everybody was saying, no, the Tigers are buying. They're buying. And I was looking at that like they were insane, but maybe part of that was because Mike Ilitch was the one who was still saying, no, we're going for this because I may not have too many years left and I desperately want a World Series championship. But if he's still calling the shots, yep, I think that you're right. It may not be too far away.
Jamie Samuelson's our guest. 97.1 The Ticket is the Detroit Tigers flagship station. They've got a game in Baltimore tonight. You'll laugh. Last time we checked, David Price was out there stretching and working out and shagging fly balls, and I'm like, can we get some, you know, can it, I know we have great health care up here, but come on, get off the field.
He just tweeted a picture of his niece sitting in her kitty seat wearing a Blue Jays hat, though, so all's good. Isn't it amazing how Twitter's changed? We're waiting. Yeah. We wait to see what a player thinks of a trade, and we can tell by Twitter. You can tell by the Twitter reaction.
Lou Gehrig's speech would have been leaked online. Forget the Norm MacDonald sketch. It would have been leaked the day before. The luckiest man alive.
I'll say two things. I think Greg Brady is actually asking Twitter to expand on 140 characters because that's just not enough. And number two, David Price is a great, great guy. And I don't know if that matters or not. I know the Blue Jays are focused on winning. But this is a guy who embraces every aspect of being a pitcher in terms of, his Twitter account is fantastic. I mean, he's actually tweeting things that are interesting, actually tweeting opinions on things that are interesting. It's not just your typical, I had a great workout today at, body and mind workouts. He's tweeting things that are interesting to fans. And if it's 2 months or 10 years, however long he's in Toronto, I think the Jays fans are absolutely going to love him. And that mention the fact that when he takes the mound, you know he's going into the eighth or ninth inning. I mean, he's just – he's one of the most reliable things in baseball, and it's a lot of fun to watch a pitcher attack the strike zone on every pitch as opposed to watching a guy nibble and for the games to take 3.5 or 4 hours.
Will David feel he didn't – this was a great chance to win the World Series in Detroit last season. He would have felt when he was acquired and they had a year and a half of control – he got the one playoff start. We were talking about the controversy as well with lining him behind Justin Verlander. By then, I was at that Sunday game. There was just that sense of impending doom. The series is over. The bullpen's terrible. It doesn't matter, even if David Price is great today. And he still was great, and they couldn't score a run until late. Will he feel that sense of, I didn't get it done in Detroit at all?
I think he will. I think he liked it here. I mean, you never know down deep. He certainly gave signs. I mean, again, going back to his Twitter account, he would complain about the potholes in Detroit. He would complain about the traffic around Comerica Park because there's a great deal of construction going on down there right now.
Oh, he'll love downtown Toronto then, trust me.
Oh, yeah. Well, perfect. Yeah, yeah. Well, you can take the subway. We don't have mass transit.
He's
going
to have
Detroit.
To.
But yeah, no, I know exactly what you're talking about, Greg. And going back to that game, that is the downside of dealing for a stud pitcher is that he only can affect one game. So by that point, the Tigers were dead in the series. They were down 2-0. And there was really no way they're going to be able to come back. So there was an impending sense of doom. So I'm sure he feels close with some of his teammates. I think he actually had a pretty good friendship with Verlander. But I wouldn't be surprised if within a couple of weeks he loves Toronto and he's good friends with, you know, everybody on that roster as well. And he could be a very important part of a run there. So I think it's a good acquisition.
We have 40 seconds left. Do you look at this from Toronto's perspective and you say, this has great risk? You're 51-51. You're in a mishmash of 5 or 6 teams that all think they're in it, that all think they can get the second wild card. That might be all they can get. And you talk about rentals. Mike Ilitch has rented hockey players before, and it just hasn't worked out. It doesn't work out the way you want. Do you look at Toronto and say they're taking a big chance today, even as good as Price is?
Yeah, they're taking a big chance, but you know, Casey Stern of MLB Radio had a great quote that's been on Twitter a lot this week, and that is, prospects are great, parades are better. You know, and you know, it's like Pittsburgh a couple of years ago. Pittsburgh hadn't been to the playoffs since, I guess, what, 92? And then now they've been the last 2 years. Toronto hasn't been since 93. It's time to make that push. I don't blame them, and I think it's a great acquisition.
Hey, Jamie, thanks so much for this.
Thanks, Jamie.
We'll talk real soon.
Great talking to you guys. Thanks for having me.
Jamie Samuelson, 97.1 The Ticket. Some great perspective there on where it is in Detroit. And yeah, the guy doesn't matter, but it sometimes makes it better. What a good guy. No one was going to mistake Jack Morris for a super dude. Dave Stewart was a super dude who was at times picked and chose who he loved and who he wanted to talk to. Just win. It's the Jays didn't all have to love each other in 92-93, but the parade cures all that, doesn't it?
He's a Vanderbilt guy. So he's smart. He reads books.
List all the universities he could have gone to, which you would not agree with. The way they would be smart. Florida. Where do you want to start? Florida. Let's go south and work our way
say,
up. Georgia?
That's a safe bet. We could just spend the whole time in Florida talking about it.
It's the smartest SEC school. We all agree on that. We'll head down to Rogers Center. Shai Davidi's down there. We'll chat with him about it. Alex Anthopoulos, top of the hour, right here on Sportsnet 590. The Fan. The Jays swing a massive deal that's got the Baseball Globe talking about it. More with Jeff Blair, Greg Brady next on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590. The Fan.